grown up together at Hailsham. The fact that we knew and remembered things that no one else did. It's ever since then, I suppose, I started seeking out for my donors people from the past, and whenever I could, people from Hailsham. There have been times over the years when I've tried to leave Hailsham behind, when I've told myself I shouldn't look back so much. But then there came a point where I just stopped resisting. It had to do with this particular donor I had once in my third year as a carer. It was his reaction when I mentioned I was from Hailsham. He had just come through his third donation. It hadn't gone well. And he must have known he wasn't going to make it. He could hardly breathe. But he looked towards me and said, "Hailsham. I bet that was a beautiful place." Then the next morning when I was making conversation to keep his mind off it all, and I asked where he'd grown up, he mentioned some place in Dorset, and his face beneath the blotches went into a completely new kind of grimace. And I realised then how desperately he didn't want to be reminded. Instead, he wanted to hear about Hailsham. So over the next 5 or 6 days, I told him whatever he wanted to know, and he'd lie there all hooked up, a gentle smile breaking through. He'd ask me about the big things and the little things, about our guardians, about how we each had our own collection chests under our beds, the football, the rounders, the little path that took you all round the outside of the main house, round all its nooks and crannies, the duck pond, the food, the view from the art room over the fields on a foggy morning. Sometimes he'd make me say things over and over, things I'd told him only the day before he'd ask about like I'd never told him. "Did you have a sports pavilion? Which guardian was your special favourite?" At first I thought this was just the drugs, but then I realised his mind was clear enough. What he wanted was not just to hear about Hailsham, but to remember Hailsham just like it had been his own childhood. He knew he was getting close to completing. And so that's what he was doing, getting me to describe things to him so they'd really sink in. So that maybe during those sleepless nights, the drugs and the pain and the exhaustion, the line would blur between what were my memories and what were his. That was when I first understood, really understood, just how lucky we'd been. Tommy, Ruth, me, all the rest of us. Driving around the country now, I still see things that will remind me of Hailsham. I might pass the corner of a misty field, or see part of a large house in the distance as I come down the side of a valley, even a particular arrangement of poplar trees up on a hillside, and I'll think, maybe that's it, I found it. This actually is Hailsham. Then I see it's impossible, and I go on driving, my thoughts drifting on elsewhere. In particular, there are those pavilions. I spot them all over the country, standing on the far side of playing fields, little white prefab buildings with a row of windows unnaturally high up, tucked almost under the eaves. I think they built a whole lot like that in the 50s and 60s, which is probably when ours was put up. If I drive past one, I keep looking over to it for as long as possible. One day I'll crash the car like that, but I keep doing it. Not long ago, I was driving through an empty stretch of Worcestershire and saw one beside a cricket ground so like ours at Hailsham, I actually turned the car and went back for a second look. We loved our sports pavilion. Maybe because it reminded us of those sweet little cottages people always had in picture books when we were young. I can remember us back in the juniors, pleading with... There is first of all the problem of the opening, namely, how to get us from where we are, which is as yet nowhere, to the far bank. It is a simple bridging problem, a problem of knocking together a bridge. People solve such problems every day. They solve them, and having solved them, push on. Let us assume that, however it may have been done, it is done. Let us take it that the bridge is built and crossed, that we can put it out of our mind. We have left behind the territory in which we were. We are in the far territory, where we want to be. Elizabeth Costello is a writer, born in 1928, which makes her 66 years old, going on 67. She has written 9 novels, 2 books of poems, a book on bird life, and a body of journalism. By birth, she is Australian. She was born in Melbourne and still lives there, though she spent the years of 1951 to 1963 abroad, in England and France. She has been married twice. She has 2 children, 1 by each marriage. Elizabeth Costello made her name with her 4th novel, The House on Eccles Street, 1969, whose main character is Marion Bloom, wife of Leopold Bloom, principal character of another novel, Ulysses, 1922, by James Joyce. In the past decade, there has grown up around her a small critical industry. There is even an Elizabeth Costello Society based in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which puts out a quarterly Elizabeth Costello newsletter. In the spring of 1995, Elizabeth Costello travelled or travels, present tense henceforth, to Williamstown, Pennsylvania, to Altona College, to receive the Stowe Award. The award is made biennially to a major world writer, selected by a jury of critics and writers. It consists of a purse of $50,000, funded by a bequest from the Stowe estate, and a gold medal. It is one of the larger literary prizes in the United States. On her visit to Pennsylvania, Elizabeth Costello, Costello is her maiden name, is accompanied by her son, John. John has a job teaching physics and astronomy at a college in Massachusetts, but for reasons of his own, is on leave for the year.